go on the record then. Resume proceedings in the spring users cases. I've received a summary of delivery calls listed in exhibit number 338. We have discussed this off the record, and just to make a record of my understanding, and council may interrupt or add to that, that the summary accurately sets forth the information in exhibit 338. There are several qualifications that should be made. First, as to Michael Reed, that is in Water District 01 and is not under the same management rules as the cases involved in this hearing. That's noted in the first column, but not under conjunctive management rules. The other is the Jensen call, which is Water District number 334, which I believe the parties agree is governed by a different set of rules than the conjunctive management rules. The third item, which was discussed, was the Rangan order, which there's been a hearing requested, but not yet set. So that, while there is an order, there are further proceedings likely to be held in that matter. Does that accurately reflect the state of this record?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor, and I'll just note that this was, what Your Honor was reading from has been marked as Exhibit 157.
Yes.
Which would be read in conjunction with Exhibit number 338.
I will admit 157 as an explanation of Exhibit 338. Let's go off the record. Wait just a moment so I can locate. I have my notes on his testimony, and I'd just like to keep this in conjunction with the earlier testimony.
Yeah, it looks.
Exhibits that have been previously marked as Exhibit 154, Exhibit 155, and Exhibit 156. Can I have you look at Exhibit 154 first?
Okay.
And did you prepare this exhibit?
Well, I printed it out for as per your request.
Okay, and is when you say printed it out, from what source of information?
Yeah, this was basically a spreadsheet and graph that I got from a staff member in our hydrology section, Steve Burrell. And the hydrology section has always maintained and updated this. I shouldn't say always, but have maintained and updated this for a number of years. It's the source data is really from the USGS. And this is the Kellstrom report and methodology for estimating spring discharge along the north rim.
And can I have you just look behind you at attachment A, which has been previously referred to in this hearing? Attachment A was an attachment to both the 2005 orders issued by the department in response to the Clear Springs and Blue Lake St. River farm delivery calls. Do you recognize that attachment?
Yes.
And is that information that's on attachment A? First of all, is information that's on attachment A up through, I think, year 2004, the same information that's located, that's on Exhibit 154?
Yes, through 2004.
And does Exhibit 154 provide any additional information?
Yeah, it includes also 2005, 2006.
So it's essentially an update of the attack to bring it to the most recent data from attachment A.
Right.
I would offer Exhibit 154 for admission.
So, just to confirm, Mr. Luke, then the data that you've added from 05 and 06 was generated and collected and is included in the same manner that the prior years?
Yes.
I have no objection.
None, Your Honor.
No objection.
154 is admitted.
Okay. Mr. Luke, could I have you now look at Exhibit 155?
Okay.
And I believe that exhibit pertains to Blue Lake's Trout Farm, labeled, could you read the title of that document?
Blue Lake's Trout Farm Hatchery, Daily Diversion from Altius Creek and Water Right Priorities, March 1, 95 through March 31, 2007.
And did you prepare that document?
Yes, I did.
And does that, I'll refer you to what's up here in large form attachment C, which was attached to the May 19, 2005 order in response to the Lake Trout Farm delivery call. Is the information on attachment C also contained on Exhibit 155?
Yes, the only difference is that Exhibit 155 does include the priority date, water rights, and their amounts. That's overlaid on the graph. It's not in attachment C. That's the only difference that I can see through 04.
And what's the source of the data that you use to update the information in Exhibit 155?
This is data that the department collects through Water District 130. That's reported by Blue Lakes Trout Farm to the Water District. And that the Water Master collects.
Okay. And is the information that you use to update the up through from 2004 to 2000, the additional information, is that the same, collected in the same manner and recorded in the same manner as that which was recorded in attachment C?
Yes.
I'd like to offer Exhibit 155.
I have a few questions, Your Honor. I think I'll have this marked as a consider eventually, but the document I'm handing you, does it reflect the data underlying Exhibits 155 and 156?
Yes.
What is the source of the data for Blue Lakes Trout Farm?
It is what is diverted to the facility itself from Altius Creek.
And is that information that's reported to you by Blue Lakes Trout Farm? Or is that a USGS gauge measurement?
No, that's reported by Blue Lakes Trout Farm to the Water District.
Okay. And would the same be true with respect to the Clear Springs data. That is, that the data, the source of the data is Clear Springs itself, reflecting their diversion at the point of diversion?
Yes.
And this is the data that's reported to you on, to the department on a regular basis over the many years that it's been required?
Yes, annually it's reported. Now, one caveat to that, for in sometime in March of this year, we made a request. I think I requested to Cindy Yenter, the water master, to get an update from Blue Lakes Trout and Snake River Farm so that we could update the hydrograph through the end of March. And they cooperated in providing that to her.
And the other documents we've been talking about, and if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
At the top, next to the title for Snake River Farm, there's a, it's like a 9-digit number.
Yes.
What does that number reflect?
That's just a diversion number that we use in our database.
Same would be true with respect to the 9-digit number next to the Blue Lakes Trout Farm list?
Yes.
And the total mean, min, max, and volume figures, are those figures that are at the bottom of each page ones that the department calculates?
Yes, we just enter the raw data that's in the upper part here for the daily diversions as they are reported. We kind of review and check them, and then the database has a function, or the program does those calculations.
Okay, then the volume figure at the bottom of each column, is that the monthly volume for the month?
Total diversion, yes.
Okay, so first page, for example, Snake River Farm, under the, at the bottom of the January column, there is an acre foot figure of 5,598.2. Mm-hmm. Is that the volume diverted by Snake River Farm for the entire month of January?
Yes.
And the same would be true with respect to all of the other acre foot figures?
Yes.
Could we have this marked? With the addition of 158, I have no objection to the admission of 154, 155, 156, and 158.
No objection.
Any objection to 158?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Any objection 158? With that, any objection to 155 and 156?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. 155 and 156, 158 are admitted.
Mr. Luke, I just have one question on Exhibit 154 that's now evidence. Did you say that you had data available up through March of 2007?
For the Blue Lakes Trout and Snake River Farm.
Do you have data available for the information on 2000 up to 2007 in Exhibit 154?
No.
Nothing further.
Any questions?
Just one question, Mr. Luke. Travis Thompson for Clear Springs. Exhibit 156, if you could look at that. And that's the Clear Springs graph?
Yes.
Looking from 1988 to 2001, was Clear Springs 1955 right satisfied year-round from your observation?
From 88 to 2001?
Yes.
Yes.
And starting in 2002 through at least 2006, that right was not fulfilled at all times during the year. Is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Any other questions? You may step down. Thank you.
Look at these, just leave them up?
Just leave them there.
Thanks, Tim.
Your Honor, a couple housekeeping matters.
Go ahead.
Okay. We offered exhibit number 400 A and B through exhibit 434 to Mr. Brendike's testimony when he testified yesterday, but I don't believe they ever got officially admitted, so I'd like to offer them for admission.
Those are 400?
A and B through exhibit 434.
Any objection?
No objection.
And then today we had offered...
Those exhibits are admitted.
Okay.
400 A and B through 434.
And then today we also offered for admission exhibits number 435 through 441, which were referenced in Ron Carlson's testimony, and I would ask that they also be admitted.
Any objection?
No objection.
None, Your Honor.
No objection.
435 through 441 are admitted.
I think we can withdraw. We had 338 A, B, and C, the orders, and I think with the admission of 157 that summarizes all delivery calls, we can just withdraw those. They were never admitted. They were just offered, and we were waiting to see what got worked out.
I understand those can be withdrawn. They simply won't be offered at this time. Any other matters?
No, Your Honor.
Should we await connection to the, well, I understand will be the last witness. Proceed. We have Rob Williams and Cindy Ganter on telephone line for further evidence. Did you wish to proceed?
Yes, Your Honor. Rob Williams on behalf of the city interveners. I know Ms. Yenders previously testified, and I assume she's still properly sworn and ready to testify.
She's still under oath.
Very good. It's going to be hard for me not to call you Cindy, but I will say Ms. Yenter.
Whatever pleases you.
All right. Ms. Yenter, you're currently serving as the water master of Water District Number 130.
That is correct.
And in that capacity, if curtailment orders pursuant to the calls that cause us to be in this hearing today are implemented, you would have a significant role in administering the curtailment of individual water rights. Is that fair to say?
Yes, that's fair to say.
You understand in your role as Water Master of District 130 that there are several cities in the areas of curtailment whose water rights would be affected if curtailment orders are entered at or about the dates that were contemplated in 2005 and earlier this summer?
Yes, I understand that. I'm aware of those.
All right. It's true, isn't it, with regard to most of the cities that most of the cities who would be affected have a blend of municipal water rights, some of which would be junior to the prospective call dates and some of which would be senior?
Yes, most of the cities are in that position.
All right, thank you. And in your role as water master, are you aware of any existing department policies as to the administration of municipal water rights in the event of a curtailment order?
By existing existing policy. Are you referring to perhaps something that would be in a written format?
Yes, sir. Either written or verbal would be all right, but I'd like to make sure you understood my question is directed specifically to municipal water rights as opposed to other kinds of water rights.
Correct. I did understand that. You know, I've received no written instructions specifically relative to the regulation of municipalities in the event of curtailment. I have, however, had informal conversations both with former Director Dreher and with Director Tuthill regarding, I guess, a strategy, if you will, of implementing curtailment upon cities.
Would you kindly state what your understanding of that strategy is?
Yeah, our strategy basically is that because municipal water rights do not contain a volumetric component, that really the only way to regulate city rights is by rate of flow. So we would start there, and then the 2005 orders and subsequent documents have made it clear, at least to me, that that culinary in-house uses would not be curtailed. So we would have to recognize that the cities, you know, might be able to exceed their senior rights in as much as they could show that they were delivering only to those exempted in-house uses. So it's kind of going to be a case-by-case basis that each city may have to actually show me that they are either A, you know, pumping within rates of flow that are under their senior rights, or B, if they're in excess of those senior rights, that those excess diversions are limited to culinary in-house deliveries only.
All right. Following that up, in your capacity as water master, are you generally aware of Rule 11 of the Conjunctive Management Rules?
I don't have those in front of me. Could you remind me which rule that is?
Yes, I can.
I may be able to find it, but go ahead and read it.
The part that I'm asking about is relatively short, so I'll read it to you. It's the first part of the rule. It states that a delivery call shall not be effective against any groundwater right used for domestic purposes, regardless of priority date, for such domestic use is within the limits of the definition set forth in Section 42.111 Idaho Code.
Okay, yes, I am familiar with that terminology in that rule.
And is it fair to say that the department's understanding of that is that since a municipal right is multifaceted, but it does contain a domestic component? Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And that, from your previous testimony, that would be considered exempt?
Well,
The domestic portion of the municipal right would be exempt as per Rule 11 in Idaho Code 42.111. Is that right?
You know, not exactly. I mean, I do understand the intent of that rule, and the orders that the director has issued have been very consistent, you know, with that rule and the language that he's used. I guess my understanding of that was that the in-house culinary domestic portion of each municipal right is certainly not consumptive. But there can be a consumptive component to domestic uses, and overall, cities are not an exempted use. So it becomes kind of a really gray area when you go within a overall non-exempted use to pull out the exempted portions. And so my understanding, according to my conversations with the directors and the orders, was that the exempted portions of the municipal rights would be limited to those in-house domestic uses.
Has there been any discussion, or is there a policy as to how the in-house culinary portion of the right would be determined?
No, there's never really been any discussion, and there is no policy.
Do you know if there's been any, have you participated in any discussion of any policy of how to square the language of Rule 11 with the language of Idaho Code 42.111 that Rule 11 refers to, that defines domestic use to include irrigation of up to 1/2 acre of land.
No, I've not been in any particular discussions on those topics.
For argument's sake, if it were determined that domestic individual residential wells outside of a municipal boundary, a single individual domestic well, were not subject, were in fact subject to curtailment and not exempt, would do you know if there's been a discussion as to whether the department would try to segregate the portion of the right that was used for irrigation of a 1/2 acre from the other parts of individual domestic wells?
I think I understand that question. Let me make sure I heard it correctly.
I might have phrased it poorly.
Well, I think I understand what you're getting at. You want to maybe just repeat it, and I'll make sure.
If with the exemption of Rule 11, which the courts have ruled is at least facially constitutional, if it were ever, has there been any effort by the department to square the domestic exemption, its treatment of the domestic exemption for municipal rights with the definition of domestic use in Idaho Code 42.111 that you know of?
Okay. So I guess you're saying, does the department realize there is a discrepancy between the application of 42.111 to a single-family well and the application of 42.111 to a municipal system or another combined system?
That's what I'm getting at, or at least the domestic portion of the municipal right.
Right. You know, yes, Carl Dreher and I have had discussions about this. Dave Tunhill and I have had discussions about this. There is not any written policy. It's a really difficult concept to deal with, but both former Director Dreher and Director Tuthill are very firm in their position that curtailment will not be enforced on single family uses. They will be allowed their 1/2 acre of irrigation, but that uses within community or larger systems, that the domestic component will be limited to in-house use. Realizing that that is a discrepancy, but I believe the director's basis was that the single-family uses were not included in the order, and so therefore he has, you know, no direct jurisdiction.
So it would be fair to say that the inconsistency, or the another way to put it, the inequality of the treatment is recognized, but the rationale is what you just explained.
Exactly. It is absolutely recognized.
Also, it's my understanding with regard to municipal rights, to the extent any of those rights would be non-consumptive, they would not be subject to curtailment. Is that consistent with your understanding of the current department policy?
Yes, that is consistent.
Has there been any discussion in the department as to how the non-consumptive portion of a right of a municipal right would be determined?
No, really hasn't been discussed.
Has there been any discussion or any policy about return flows from municipal rights to the system? And specifically, I'm speaking, for example, of a city like Jerome that returns constantly a flow of about 2 CFS to the Snake River through its wastewater treatment plant.
No, there's been no specific discussion of those kinds of things.
And as far as you know, then, that return flow that I've described in situations like that, there's been no determined whether the department would regard an equal amount of that water as therefore being non-consumptive or not?
We've not discussed it. You know, I just simply don't know if it would be considered.
All right.
Simply because we've never discussed it specifically.
And Ms. Yenter, do you know, given the fact that most of the cities that are involved in these potential curtailments have a combination of junior and senior rights. Do you know if it would be consistent with department policy if an individual city decided to allocate its exempt rights to the junior portion of its rights and therefore left the non-exempt rights attached to its senior rights?
Putting the consumptive uses under the senior rights and leaving the non-consumptive uses under the junior rights. Is that what you're
describing?
That's
another way of putting it.
Yeah. You know, to the extent the city could show the department that, I suspect that that would be acceptable. But it would kind of be up to the city to show us that, and I'm not really sure how that could be accomplished.
But at least you're not aware of a current department position or policy that would prevent a city from proposing that.
No, there's certainly no policy that would prevent it.
All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
All right.
Are there any questions? There are no questions from council present. Thank you very much. We're going, I think, if you want to remain on the line, I think we're wrapped up.
Okay.
Well, maybe I have the honor of asking the fewest but the last questions.
Okay.
And this is?
I think those have been asked and answered.
Okay.
Is there anything further that we should take up at this time, either by way of housekeeping matters or future actions? I was not going to request a post-hearing briefing. There's been a good deal of briefing done. The issues are defined. If there are specific areas that I need something, I will communicate that. Is that agreeable to the parties?
Most agreeable.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
What's the situation with the dairymen? What are you're here?
I was hoping Mr. Rasir would come walking through the door and answer that question. He and I have been in some discussions concerning a stipulation that would remove the dairymen's mitigation agreement with the Surface Water Coalition and with Clear Springs Foods from this hearing process and have a different outcome there that would be decided by the hearing officer. And we have drafted that at least the department is comfortable with, and I am. At this point, we need to circulate it with other counsel in this hearing, and we'd hope to obtain their stipulation as well. And I hope we can do that yet today with the times. I don't think we'll just involve Your Honor's time or our clerk, but hopefully we would be able to maybe reconvene by telephone conference with the hearing officer and confirm that we have in fact stipulated that. My expectation is that we could do that.
I'll simply wait action on that and note that we will apparently be on a telephone conference next Thursday at 1 o'clock, if that's a convenient time, or earlier. Will be available most of the time.
I think that may work for more for us.
Mr. Budge.
One thing, Your Honor, I thought that if it was acceptable, we had been trying to update or propose findings and the fact and conclusions of law that were submitted pre-hearing to include some of the things that came out, and we thought we would amend and update those and submit them to you, if that's okay.
That's fine with me. Just circulate those. So I gather you're not proposing to brief any of those. Simply note if you've withdrawn an objection or if you've added anything. Want the same option? Or everything you have is written stone?
I guess I would accept the option, but I don't anticipate filing amended findings of fact.
Yeah, we didn't file any proposed findings other than our pretrial brief. I don't think we'd change that.
Anything
more now?
Yeah. Anything else that we should talk about? Okay. Let me just take a moment and thank council and also the parties, the witnesses aren't present, but for the extreme courtesy and the extreme amount of self-control that has been exercised in the presentation of this, this is obviously a matter of huge significance to those involved, and in the end of the trail are undoubtedly going to be some unhappy people, but the hearing process has been made much easier by the self-control and the courtesy that the attorneys and the witnesses have shown to one another, and I do appreciate it. It's helped the process significantly. With that, we are in recess.